Welcome to the Chaos Network.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt.
And there we are, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to do this all over again. This is Leaving Footprints. We are the program that breaks down the good, the bad, and the small print of the family court system, which, after almost 2 years now, we have not really figured out what the small print is or what the good is. We have experienced a lot of the bad. But... you know, there are some good stories, there are. And once you figure out what the small print is, it's easier for you to get to the good. It's just, you meet people every single day who are, taking the steps that we made years ago. We get a separation from the other parent because this isn't a, it is 80% of the time a father loses the child, but there is that 20% where it does happen to a mother. So it's not more or less a father's rights thing. It's more of a parental thing. Whoever it is, you get your separation, you walk out the door, you look back, and you decide, from this moment on, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing what is right for my children. And that's a noble, noble thing to do. And it's going to take you years and thousands of dollars to realize the worst thing that you could do for your children is fight for them. The system will penalize you. They will destroy you emotionally and financially, and it will only make the situation worse. And the last thing you'd ever want to do is try to go to court and fight your ex, because you're not fighting your ex. Horrible things happened in the relationship. It didn't work out. That's why you ended up there. What you need to do immediately is stop fighting with the ex and do not go into the system. Once you go into the system, it's over for you. You will both, mother and father, spend thousands of dollars to hire an attorney. You yourself will hire an attorney who he has a business, he or she, the attorney that you hire, their business plan is to make you fail. It is a terrible business plan for that attorney to get you everything you want right away. Financially, that's the dumbest business plan ever. If you pay $2,000 and he gets you, oh, so close, you're going to pay him another $2,000 to go back to court next year. and another $2,000 the following year. And then that following year, you're going to spend $7,000 because you're so close. And this is going to go on for years and years and years. You're going to be out of your children's life, and it's going to be harder for you to get back into your children's life because of the attorney you hired. And then the attorney that she hired, of course, is going to do everything they can to financially and emotionally cripple you, but they're going to do the same thing to the other spouse too. So it only financially and emotionally destroys you and your children. Dumbest thing you can do is get into the system. And I know that it's, you know, me sitting back and saying to you, oh, just make up with the parent of your child and work it out, because 7 years later, I still can't do that, and people say that to me all the time. Let's bring in Robert, who's been sitting on the couch quietly for a few minutes. Robert, how are you?
How's it going, buddy?
It is a pleasure to hear from you.
It's been so long.
We are just sitting here hanging out, discussing the good, the bad, and the small print of the family court system. And nobody enjoys it as much as I do than Robert, because there are moments in our lives where the two of us will call each other and say, aha, I figured it out. And the other one has to sit quietly and go, man, is he going to fail? But because we're such good friends, we have to sit back and supportively say, good for you. But now we're at the point where we're so bitter and cynical that it's just like, okay, when it happens, it happens. Call me back.
You know, Tommy, it's like you're right about that. It's like, you sit back and you're like, yeah, he's going to fail. And it's so true. It's like, you know, we got some good friends and stuff like that. A couple of them are going to be on the show a little bit later. But, you know, like Carrie, Sherry, Ron, all of them and stuff like that, they all told me that what I was trying to do pretty much was I had less than a 1% chance of even getting what I wanted. But, you know, I'm going to try. I'm going to do everything. I looked up every single law that I possibly could. I was prepared with everything. I'm going, anything that the judge or the other lawyer says, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared for it. Then I go to court, and you know what they do? They don't even let me talk.
They don't even let me say
one word.
They know that you have a response. Of course they're not going to let you talk. You watch these stupid movies on TV, you know, like, what was that Robin Williams movie?
Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire, where he stands up at the end and he gives that beautiful speech.
Yep.
I've been to court 16 times and I've never gotten to talk. So, if I ever get the opportunity, I swear to you, I am going to, you know, let loose the wrath.
I was just thinking the same thing, Tommy. I'm sitting here before I even called you. I was like, going, you know, if I get a chance, because I know that the judge is not going to allow me to do what I want to do or have the time with my children that I want, and I'm just going to go off on that judge. And I'm like, I'm not going to really care what she says or what she does to me, because I'm going to have my freaking word.
Yes, there are people out there who are listening to this who are going to say, oh, yeah, the judge let me speak, and it was great. Yes, it does happen. It does. We get lots of stories of people who, worked it out with the spouse, didn't have to go to the family court system. It does happen. We have stories of people who went, said what they needed to say to the judge, and won. Yes, that's why in the title it starts with the good. Because there are stories out there where the family system, there is a judge out there who puts the best interest of the children first. But there are, you know, the show alone has shocked me, where it's downloaded in 47 countries. How is that possible? So there must be, you know, it is one of those things that if it doesn't happen to you, you don't get it. And even if you've been in the system and you've had an okay experience, it's never been somebody who went, whoo, it turned out better for me.
I just got some news. I reposted it a couple times already. I don't have it in front of me because I'm on the phone. But it seems that there's a group of fathers that are in one of the eastern states that are filing a class action lawsuit against the county or the state for them not being able to see their children because of the bad decisions of judges.
That's what happened.
That's a good start.
that happened in Southern California. There was a class action suit. And the state went after the people who were involved in the class action suit, and they were forced to stop talking about it. So I don't really know what the outcome was, but they were forced to stop publicly talking about the case. Which there goes, your freedom of speech. But when you're fighting for your children, there's always this fear that if I go too far, I'm not going to get my children. And I'm doing this to fight for my children. So they've got you. They've got you any way they possibly can. And if anybody is listening and they want to call in, the phone number is 646. Wait, I'm giving you the wrong number. It is 347-857-4216. If you just want to join in and tell us about how your court system went well, or if you want to call and tell us that we're complaining and that we should move near our kids, or maybe we should just go back to court one more time, that the system is fair and we're doing something wrong, or if you just want to call and agree with us, the phone number is
347. Or you got a bad lawyer, you should just get a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Or like us, who didn't have attorneys, maybe we should have just hired one. But 347-857-4216. And you get these people all the time who are just starting the system, and they're going to, say to us, and it's hard for me not to be cynical, so I have to sit back and be quiet, who just tell me, maybe you should, just – take notes and document everything. And I'm like, that sounds exactly what leaving footprints is,
Now here's something. I was at the legal library in my neck of the woods here, and I was talking to the person that she graduated. She passed her bar, but she didn't want to be a lawyer, so she works at the legal library helping schmucks like us, get through the legal system. I'm talking to her, and she goes, you sound like you're probably smarter than most of the judges and most of the lawyers that you're going to go up against. You seem to know very much what you're doing and how to do it and everything. And she said, the problem, though, is you don't know how to represent yourself correctly in the court of law. And that's where you need the lawyer for. And I'm like going, I shouldn't have to have a lawyer because of that. If I'm giving you the exact stuff that the lawyer's going to give you, you should listen to it exactly the same way. But she's like, that's not how it works. And this is coming from someone that knows the laws. She's going, that's not how it works. It doesn't surprise me that they shut you down. They're going to shut you down every time because you're doing pro se work, and they don't really respect you.
and that's what I was told early on, is the fact that if I show up with all my evidence and all everything in place, and I'm ready to go, and I show up in a nice suit and my briefcase, I'm told that the other attorneys and the judge in the room sees that as a slap in the face, that they went to school for a very, very long time. They worked very, very hard to get to where they are, that it's insulting that I think that I can compete with them. So they will find the one piece of paper that I don't have, and that's what they'll focus on, because they're smarter than I am. And it's funny because, I've told this story a million times, but for people who just accidentally found this show, is the suit that I went to court in, I went to the Goodwill and I bought for $25. It's not my fault that it looked nice. I thought that I went to court and that's the way you're supposed to dress. But nowadays you're supposed to dress, like you don't have any money. So when you go in and you say, look, you can't take 96% of my income, they can go, well, you do look like a slob, so maybe that will hurt you. But if you show up in a $25 suit that you bought at the Goodwill, which was, by the way, two sizes too big, it still makes me look like, you know, I went in, you know, with all this money in the world to make myself look better and then complain that I didn't have any money.
You know what I do, Tommy? I go into court wearing a nice T-shirt and jeans and shoes that look like they're falling off my feet. That's how I go to court. Because guess what? That's what I got.
But and one of the other things is that when I was planning the show today, which I've been planning for a while now, the topic that I really want to learn the definition, and the reason why I do this show is so I can learn things. It's, you know, hopefully it helps other people. But what I've learned with this show is the fact that I come up with things that makes me a little bit smarter from doing this. But I really want to break down the term child support. That we live in such a society where the term child support has nothing to do with anything other than money. That today I was watching a court show, and the judge said, "Hey, do you take care of your kids? Do you pay child support?" And the guy said, "No, I don't, because I spend every single day with my child." And he said, "But you're not paying financially. Then you're a deadbeat dad," told the guy to stop smiling. Which blows my mind, because if you're taking care of the kid every single day, yes, you are financially taking care of them. You know, you're buying them lunch, you're buying them, you know, like the whole week, last week I spent with my children, you know, I had to feed them, I had to find a place for them to sleep, I had to find transportation for them. So financially, I am taking care of them, and of course, as we all know, I pay my child support. But I'm just saying that if you're a father and you live down the block from your children, that, you know, paying financial needs is something you do while you're with the child. So why are we so focused on the fact that the other parent receives a check? It just seems so demeaning to me that we're focusing so much on the other parent receiving a check. But if you're in the child's life and you're taking care of them, it just makes me angry that that's not seen as enough. Because I know millions of fathers out there who didn't go through the family court system. And, of course, you know, 3 days a week they have the child. You know, every other week they have the child for 4 days a week. So it's working out that it's 50-50. But society still wants to say that that parent, because they don't sleep in the same house, that they become the deadbeat parent. You can pick the child up from school and spend from, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock at night while the other parent is working or whatever, and then you drop the child off, and the minute that child falls asleep and you're not writing a check, that makes you a deadbeat?
Oh, trust me, I understand that. It's like the first part of last year for about 5 months, I had my kids with me 75% of the time. I didn't expect anything from her, even though she was still getting my son's full payment and everything like that. I didn't expect anything like that. I was taking care of him. I would go to school, eat lunch with him. I'd volunteer at the school for multiple different things. And yet, I'm the deadbeat. And it's like, and she sits there, you know, touting online. And yes, I'm going to sound bitter here and annoyed. But she gets online talking about how good a single parent she is and how bad the struggle is for her being a single parent. So I'm like, going, are you kidding me?
Well, you know,
I'm going to be the one sanctioned by the courts.
A few weeks ago, I fell asleep while we were watching TV, and like 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and the show Kate Plus 8 is on, and it's about this woman who has 8 children, and at some point in her life, she's gotten a divorce. But since then, she has been on every celebrity show since then. She's never, never, never home. And while I'm watching this episode half asleep, and of course, I'm one of those people who will keep on a TV show because it annoys me more than I would keep on a show because I enjoy it. So, of course, I couldn't turn it off. So I'm watching, and she's talking about the fact that the kids just came home from their father's house. And in the same sentence, she's talking about the struggle of raising all these kids by herself. How do you do that? You're not, if the kids just got back from the other parent's house, are you legitimately raising them by yourself? It just, yes, I am angry. I am bitter because there has to come a point where society stops and says to themselves, you know what? If you are, because every time you bring this topic up, people think that you're just an angry dad who doesn't want to pay for your kids. And I say to them, if you gave me my kids right now for the rest of their lives, would they be taken care of financially? Would they have shoes? Would they have clothes? Would they have heat? Would they be taken care of? Society just automatically assumes that, and I'm going to say a word that's going to, you know, so censor me, but this is the Chaos Network, and I can say it, use any language I want. But people have come to the conclusion that the second that the father, for this sake, is not with the mother, he becomes retarded. And I know that that's a hated word, but he can no longer bathe his children. He can no longer feed them. He can no longer figure out how to financially take care of his children. You just talk to complete strangers, you know, on the road, and they'll stop you and they'll say to you, well, that's because, you know, you don't know how to take care of your kids. Why not? Yes, I'll
you know,
admit to you.
You know, it's funny, Tommy, on this one. And, I'm the numbers guy, you know, I check things out and stuff like that. And it's like, I have not talked to one dad that had custody of his children that they either didn't want it or they were not getting child support and they were doing perfectly fine without it.
Well,
but
you know,
and they usually don't talk about the money. They're sitting there talking about how much they are caring about their kids. Now, I'm not saying that this doesn't happen to moms too, but for the most part, every time I see women talking about it, it's always about the money. Always about the money, that I need this, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's like going,
but
okay.
Those are the same mothers that I want to say to them, what are you doing for your children outside of money? What do you do to raise your children? And, you know, they'll list that they love them and they take care of them and they do the schoolwork with them and they make sure that they have friends and that they're, you know, get to the doctor's office. And it's like, well, why is that considered raising a child? But when the father does it, because he doesn't sleep in the same house as the children, why does that make him anything less than the father? That society needs to wake up and realize that we have become, and I've always hated people who, you know, jump on one topic and, you know, oh, look at the way they're spinning that. And somehow I've become that person. But I think that it is insanity. Like the other day at work, some woman was making husband jokes. And that's okay in the workplace. But if I started making fun of women in the workplace, I could lose my job. We have become a society where we don't value the father unless he's married. Because if he's married and he, you know, you see videos all the time on YouTube about a father who does the dumbest thing in the entire world, like ties a remote control car to a tooth and pulls it out of his mouth. And it's the funniest video in the entire world, and you love it, and you'll watch it, and you'll send it to every coworker you know. But you find out that that is a father who's been divorced, and you want those kids taken away from him because he's reckless. Yes,
yep.
He's an idiot. He's an idiot, and he doesn't represent fathers in society. But if there's a mother in the background, it's a fun video. If you find out that the mother only has them 3 days a week because it's 50%, you know, custody, then he's a deadbeat, you know, father who doesn't care about his kids. You know, you see, you know, this video of this kid who's just filthy, he's playing in the mud, and he's the funniest father in the entire world until you find out that they're separated, and now he's a father who doesn't bathe his kids. It's just funny because you see the way that people react to this stuff. is, you know, you talk about fathers out there who are doing great things for their kids, who go to all the baseball games and everything. And then you have other fathers who want to be in their kids' lives, but they know that if they show up to the baseball game, she's got some falsified allegations against him where she got some kind of restraining order against him. So now he can't go to the baseball games. So on the days that he can go to the baseball games because she's not there, every parent sitting there is looking at him like he's some kind of awful, just show up when he wants to dad. And they totally don't understand that one, you know, people say to me all the time, just show up and take your kids. That's a crime, people. I can't just show up and take them. And they go, but you're the dad. No, when I was married to their mother, I could do reckless things as their funny dad. Now I'm some guy who just shows up whenever it's convenient for me and commit crimes with my children. That's the way it's going to be seen as, that I'm not just this hero dad who's like, screw it, I want to be with my kids, so I'm just going to take them. Mm-hmm. Society's going to see me as this reckless fool who is only taking them out of spite against my ex-wife. They're not going to see me as a guy who has spent 7 years losing his mind by not having his children. To me, going back to the topic, child support to me is that goodnight kiss every night. Taking yep. that away from me was the worst thing that was ever taken from me. You could take my cars, you could take my house, you could take everything away from me, but not being able to have access to my children, calling them to find out how school was, and then being told, which, you know, you and I talked about this the other day, that was seen by a judge as harassment to my ex-wife. Calling the house every day to see how school was somehow harassment. And people say there's no way that could happen. There's no way, you know, you must have really been doing something else. What was I doing? I seriously wanted to know how a day at school was for my children. I don't need her to answer the phone. Click the little green button and hand it to my children and walk away. That's not harassment.
I don't know if you're able to do it or if you've had issues with this, but the only way that I get any kind of information about my children right now is emailing their teachers back and forth, and they tell me how they're doing in school. And, you know, if they lost teeth or anything like that, I ask for, like, you know, a couple personal things about them every once in a while, you know, to try to get, you know, connected as I possibly can. But think about it. I mean, I have to – that's the only way I can have any kind of contact with my children is through their teachers over the Internet.
And that's what it comes down to. It comes down to the fact that, you know, here they are, and they see the you know, in my case, they see the mother every single day. And here's a story, and I don't like to tell my stories on the air because I totally believe that this is a movement. It's not a personal story. But for this case, I'm going to tell you that the other day when I was with my children, we did homework. And when the next day, my son said to me that his mother had thrown the piece of paper out and then went to his teacher and said that when they're with me, I don't do homework with them. So she could be some kind of victim here, which she doesn't realize that the boys are old enough now where they go, what? I was standing there. I heard the whole story. I knew I did the homework. She's making me look bad. But so for me to contact the teacher, it also looks like the other day when I went to their classroom and I wanted to, you know, see their classrooms and stuff. And it might be personal on me. It might be the people in my head yelling the wrong things. I don't know. But I felt like both teachers were treating me like it was awkward and that I shouldn't be there.
You know what? Something that you just said, Tommy, just makes me. That just shows the kind of person your ex is. By her doing that, she's willing to make your children, you guys' children, fail to make you look bad.
And that's what it comes down to, is the fact that, you know, these parents out there who are alienating you, will, there is no price, there is no limit to what they will do so they can be the victim. They can be, you know, and that's what alienating is the fact that you have to make the other one look so bad and you look so good. Because let's just say I didn't do the homework with him. She could have just sent him to school like she does every single day. But on this case, she had to take him to the class to explain why his homework wasn't done. It just, you know, there had to be many a times where my son, who was not a homework fan, probably didn't do his homework. She probably didn't take him to school on those days, and she didn't take him into the classroom. But on this incident, she had to go in and explain, when they're with me, we don't do homework. Which I wish she would have told me that, because honestly, from where I sit, I wouldn't have done the homework. Because he's not easy to do homework with. So it takes like an hour and 40 minutes to do one piece of paper. So I wish that she would have told me that that was her plan. We wouldn't have done the homework, and then we would have spent an hour and 40 minutes together.
Yep.
It just comes down to that simple. Hey, I'll play along. You want to be the victim, you're going to do it anyway. Just give me that hour
yep.
and 40 minutes back, and then we wouldn't have had to sat and done the homework. But it is just insanity to me that little things like that, like doing homework with your child, is child support. It's supporting, like people, I have this argument all the time with people, is they don't want to acknowledge what the word support means. They just, when you put the word child in front of support, they want it to just be money. Which is fine. That's absolutely fine. I'm not retarded. I know that my children need pants. I know that they need shoes, and I know that they need heat, and I know that they need food, and I know that they need haircuts or whatever they need. I get that. I'm not retarded. You know, and I'm going to keep using the word because it is the Chaos Network, and there's no FCC, and I'm going to use it. If you don't like it, don't download the show again. But in this sense, that's what it's become, is the fact that you think that I'm mentally handicapped, that I'm retarded, and that I don't know that my children need to be supported financially. Of course I understand. But to support a child, like you ask any parent, you know, married couple out there, is it, you know, when they sit down to dinner at 7 o'clock at night and they've got the whole family around and they're joking and they're talking about what happened at school and everything, are they handing out checks? Are they sitting there saying, okay, well, this is probably what cost you today. You know, here's a check for you and here's a check for you. Married couples never think about what it takes financially to raise their kids. They think about what it financially takes to keep the house, to keep the cars, to pay the bills, what it's going to take. Maybe you have to take an extra job because, you know, this one's joining that or that one's going to there. Or they understand financially the situation they're in. Just because you get separated doesn't mean that you lose your mind. Well, you do, because you've been destroyed financially and emotionally and everything. But you understand that there is a financial cost with your children. But the word child support means that you need to support your kid in everything, and that they need 100% access to both parents at all times. That if they wake up in the middle of the night and they're freaking out, they had this horrible nightmare and you know, one parent was hurt really bad in an accident and they just want to hear that parent's voice, why can't they have access to that parent? The court order comes along and says, oh, you can only talk to them on Wednesday for 10 minutes. So on Tuesday, in the middle of the night, they wake up, they can't talk to you because they're legally not allowed to. Yes, yep. It is meant that you, as the angered, hostile, bitter spouse, don't want that other person around you because you're upset. That's fine. Be that way. But why does that affect the child? That child only has access to that parent on Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for 10 minutes. And there's not a child out there who on, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, isn't finding something new to learn about, taking a new interest, seeing a new show that made them think about their parent, that you know, meeting a new relationship, whatever it is where they go, ah, you know, dad would really like this or mom would really like this. The court says, no, hold that information, take a note, and when you talk to him or her for those 10 minutes, make sure you run down those notes of things that you did this week. Make sure that that parent completely understands that you got an A, you met you're in a new relationship, you started a new job, you grew 2 feet, you have a beard now, you know, all these things that happened during the week. Your child has to make up for in 10 minutes. And they want to know why the child just says, you know what, it's not worth it to me to be responsible to have a relationship in 10 minutes. And then they become bitter and angry, and they don't want to do it. And then when the phone rings, they're like, you know what, so much happened that I don't even remember what happened anymore. And if you do have children that you do live with, you know, and the minute they walk in the door and you say, what did you do today? They're going to say to you, I don't know, nothing. And you're going to be like, you've been gone for 9 hours and nothing happened? Yeah, nothing happened. So if you go an entire week, you're still going to get the same response of nothing. Nothing. So, it's just crazy to me that I really wish that there was a way to get people to just get past the word child support as a financial issue. Is that it is a percentage of, but that means that you're eliminating the other, because let's just say it's 50%. 50% of raising a child is financial. But, you know, you can look on TV and you can see for 65 cents a day, I could raise some kid in some foreign country. How are those kids getting along? Yes, I think that my kids are worth more than 67 cents a day, of the price of a cup of coffee. Absolutely, I'm not comparing that. What I'm saying to you is those kids are surviving on 67 cents a day. That must mean that for the rest of the day, there's something else going on in their life. You know, are they being loved? Are they being taught things? Are they, you know, involved in stuff? Do their parents love them? You know, are they learning a skill? There's so much more to having a child. It's just, if you don't say that right, people just assume that I don't want to pay for my children. And it's very, very upsetting. It makes me angry. I don't understand, you know, how to get people to understand the fact that, yes, I want to financially take care of my children, but I also want to support them. If, you know, like my son, who plays baseball, who's very, very good at baseball. And I don't just say that because I'm his father. It's the fact that every time he tries out, he's top five in the kids who try out. But this year he decided he didn't want to play baseball, that he wants to try out for football. So it is my job to support him. Is yes, I want him to be very, very good at baseball. I think he has a talent. I think that's where he wants to be. But he wants to try something else. So do I make him play baseball? Do I let him, you know, try out for football? Is that support? I you know, maybe I'm just ranting. Maybe that's what I do, and that's why I have a radio show. I don't know. But I want people to explain to me that supporting my children, it's like 10% financial. And if I support them to my best ability, which I would always do because I'm not retarded, then that shouldn't even be an issue. But to destroy me financially to prove a point that you're angry and you're bitter, and there isn't a reason to be angry and bitter. I didn't commit a crime. I didn't do anything wrong. I haven't done anything illegal. Let me actually stop talking for a second and bring on a guest that we have this evening. I'd love to bring on the Palmers. Palmers, are you there?
Hi, this is Ron. Sherry will
Ron,
be here in just a second.
Fantastic,
I'm doing good.
Ron. How are you? Super.
I'm doing great.
It's been a while since we spoke to you.
Yes, it has.
And so it's always a pleasure talking to you. What have you guys been up to since the last time we talked to you?
Just carrying on the fight, trying to help as many parents as we can understand what their rights are and fight for their rights, and we're having parents with some good success.
That is fantastic to hear. Now, you guys are with Fix the Family Courts.
Fix Family Courts, yes.
You can go to Facebook and you can check that out. You guys also have some good books out there, which is fantastic reading. and Ron deals more with your constitutional rights. So if you're a parent out there and you're fighting an emotional fight in court, we're all going to tell you that that's a bad place to be. That if you can go to court and say, my constitutional rights are, you're going to be in a much better place.
Exactly. And many, if not most, of the attorneys simply don't like to make that argument. Every other part of law, they're happy to make that argument. And when it comes to family law, they get their wires crossed somehow.
Well, and it's funny because I've done a lot of research on it, and I realize that they have a business to run. And if they fixed your problem right away, how much money could they make?
There is something to be said for that. Now, there's certainly a role, even when in the constitutional scheme, for attorneys, right? Because we still have to come to agreement between the parties about how we're going to exercise equal rights. And there's lots of details that have to go on there. And you need attorneys to help mediate, if not mediate that, but certainly document that in a way that's workable and enforceable. But
absolutely,
you shouldn't have to go in there terrified that they're going to take your child away from you.
How we all start out.
You know what I would like to see, because I see this a lot, and Tommy, I think, has dealt with it and stuff like that, and same with a lot of others, is usually it's the mother that goes in there and is able to get legal aid to help them. And it's, at that point, she has a lawyer, and you don't have any options whatsoever except to pay for a lawyer. She gets a free lawyer, and you don't. They should have options for that. It's like, well, mom goes over here to get a free lawyer. Dad can go over to this place and get a free lawyer also.
This is Sherry. Who am I talking to?
This is Rob, Sherry. Rob Crawford.
Who is it? Oh, Robert Crawford?
Yeah, Rob. Yep.
Oh, hey, Robert. Yeah, you know what the beautiful part is about that, Robert? The attorneys they're paying, the attorneys that they are paying don't know crap about their rights. So when you go in there, we just got notified that a dad who used our arguments, he went through, and he sent us an email and said he uses this stuff that he learns from us in every part of his life, including his education. Hmm. He's an economics major. He just got his son back who was moved from one state to another. And you know what? She has attorneys, but they don't know the argument. And he put up a darn good fight. He had a gal involved in this, and the judge even told him, man, you're pretty thorough with these arguments. So I can't say that the judge sided with him because he didn't, but he put enough pressure on him to where he ended up getting his son back.
Well, I'm going to have to get your book and talk to you then, because we just had a jurisdiction hearing here in Oregon about where the kids are going to, where it's going to be taking place. And Oregon, I had everything set up and right to tell them, you know, fight for my rights kind of thing. They didn't let me say a word, and they gave jurisdiction to Wyoming. So I have to go to Wyoming and fight now. So now it's set. But they're telling me I have to go through mediation first, which is, I already know, is pointless with her. But
yeah.
I will get your book and start looking at it and seeing what I need to do.
Yeah, no matter where they put it, this is U.S. constitutional fundamental rights. And what we're finding is that parents, if you go in and you say Constitution, Constitution, they're going to shut you down. So what you really
yep.
have to do is talk about due process and the proper due process. And when you start talking about, okay, Judge, what kind of rights are we discussing here? These are family privacy rights. They're fundamental. And when you start talking to them like that, you're no longer saying, hey, Constitution, we're going to, you know, we're saying we have more power than you. You're just presenting a reasonable argument to them that they should understand because they did go to law school and learn about due process. So I kind of, you know, caution a lot of parents because even though, yes, we get our material from the constitutional arguments, it doesn't fly in the face of most of the judges because that's just a document to them. You have to show them, unfortunately, you shouldn't, I understand, but you do need to show them how this looks at a trial court, you know, in a trial court proceeding. And the way you do that is by just simply putting out an outline for them. And we've put that up on our site. I don't know if you guys have seen our daily tools that I just started doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I have actually started putting steps for each parent, you know, and questions to ask yourself. You know, does it meet this? Does it meet that? Have you qualified, you know, does your case qualify according to X, Y, and Z? And when you start looking at that, that's the stuff that the judges think about. And when you start to show them you know what they need to think about, it's a totally different arena. You will get a different response. Now, that's not to say there aren't corrupt judges out there that are just ridiculous, okay? We know there's a problem. We're not saying there isn't a problem. But what we're saying is go in there with as much leverage as possible so that they know that you're going to have a formidable fight. And that at least can put pressure. And, you know, let me kind of tell you one thing, too, because I know you know this, too, Robert and Tommy. You can have the best argument in the world and still not win. So it doesn't mean that you're going to walk away with the same results, which is the part that everyone's, you know, really, really upset about, and they're really going hard with the legislation. And we do believe that's needed. But let me kind of share a secret with you. Legislation alone is not going to change this. It's the courts and the rulings. If you look back in all of the history of how people finally got right, and how they finally were able to exercise their rights, who ultimately put the hammer down and made it possible for them to exercise their rights?
Well, when it was children, it was the animal rights people that got the children's their rights.
Yeah, it's the court after the people put pressure on them and after people demonstrated they were going to exercise their rights, right? After Black said, wait a minute. The court said we have these rights to vote. We're trying to register. I'm going off Selma, the new movie. I don't know if you guys have seen that. But in the new movie, they showed that they had the right to vote, but they were placing all kinds of burdens on them in order to vote. And I think it's very similar to parental rights. They're saying, oh, yeah, you have joint custody. You just can't exercise it without jumping through this hoop and hiring that gal and, you know, complying with this psychologist. So basically what they're saying is they've placed burdens in front of your ability to exercise your rights. Same, similar kind of thing. So
I'll agree with you on that, Sherry, because I've seen so many things happen. It's like going, you know, if a dad goes to a park to be able to see his kids, you know, the mom, or, you know, in this case, the mom will go complaining about harassment. He's around me. He's following me, stalking me, and trying to get a stalking order at that. But it's like, you know, on their days that they're supposed to visit, the mom can stop them and say, no, I'm not going to let you do it, and the courts won't do anything. I want to know how to fix that.
Robert, so what you're saying is they say they're stalking and then they don't do anything about the stalking?
No. What will happen is, like, if I go watch my kids at the park or go to the school to look at, my wife has done this, is she'll get a stalking order against me saying that I'm following her and that I'm watching the kids and that by watching the kids, I'm watching where she's at, something like that. So it basically stops me from going anywhere near my kids or where they might be because she might be there. But at the same time, how
many parents, Robert, do you know that say, hey, you know, the other parent did this, they went and got this order? How many parents do you know that actually presented arguments stating that they didn't plead this properly, they didn't file any proper charges for a crime, and then file an injunction when the judge orders that restriction on them?
The only person I know right now is me because my wife tried to file a stalking order on me. I went and she got the stalking order even though she didn't prove her point. And then I went to appeal it because the judge was the same judge when she was a lawyer, was the mediator for our separation. I'm like, okay, there's a conflict here, you know, kind of thing. And I've already proven that, you know, I've already proven this stuff. Unfortunately for me, I didn't know how to do all the proper paperwork on top of filing for the appeal process, which was the affidavit and all this other, you know, the a brief that I had to file.
Did they not give you opportunity to fix it?
Unfortunately, I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know who to talk to get that taken care of. So unfortunately, I let it slip. So the stalking order stayed in place.
Yeah, that's the problem. And even if you had known how to do it, Robert, I'm just asking the question just so we can dialogue here. Even if you had known how to do it, it still does not mean that you would prevail. But what you're doing is you're getting this in front of the courts repeatedly, kind of like, now we'll go to a different movie, the Cesar Chavez movie, kind of like when they said, you have a restriction on you, you can't yell Wolga. So you can't, that's strike, you can't stand out in public and yell it where the pickers are because you're influencing them. And they did it anyways, and each one did it even though they were throwing them in jail until finally, you know, they get tired of throwing the people in jail or other people start to get involved because they think, wait a minute, you know, what's going on? This isn't fair. This isn't just. In their particular case, they started using some other tactics as well. But that was one where they started to get attention. And what it does when you file these and every parent that you can find possible puts up this kind of fight, create that same type of movement so that they understand, wait a minute, parents are done putting up with this. They're not just giving in anymore. We're having to work harder to force them to do things. Don't you think that's going to start to get attention?
But Sherry, the problem there is the fact that we don't know which paperwork to file. We don't know, and that's our downfall, is the fact that when we get into this movement, we don't know what steps to take. And, of course, we're going to take, you know, if you do have an attorney, you're going to take his word for it, who is setting you up to fail so he could make a long-term income out of you. So you don't know. And that's the biggest problem that I have with this whole thing, is the fact that there is – no A, B, and C on how to handle this. Because you can do A, but then all of a sudden they sidetrack you and you're on D, and then they get upset because you didn't do B.
I'm going to jump in here. As me and Tommy's been doing this for so many years, and a lot of guys have been doing this for so many years, we know what we want to do, we just don't know how to do it.
And we go by common sense. We sit there and we go, okay, this makes sense. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a second. How come the system doesn't follow that same common sense?
Well, for one, because they were just using abuse of power. And when you use abuse of power, you don't need a transparent system, right? So we're doing is you have to decide – you've been doing it a long time, you said, right? Start putting the steps out there that you did, just like everyone else, because this isn't going to be easy. It's not like somebody drew a map for slaves on how to get free. You have to start creating the steps, and then you just get everybody to start following them.
It shouldn't be this hard to be a good, productive, fit, loving, caring parent.
No, of course, that's why we're all here, but while it is, it's just like it shouldn't have been that hard for them to register to vote. So they eventually got rid of those burdens and those stats. But in the meantime, how do all these other parents survive? We've got all these parents going through it. We can't have them not knowing the basic rights. So So regardless of whether they do it perfect or do it right, if they at least know their basic rights, then the courts aren't going to have a justification for what they did, and eventually this is going to blow up in the court space. So don't worry so much about the steps. I understand that it was confusing for you, Robert.
Yeah.
But you at least tried. You tried to do something. Now the next person, they're going to know, okay, Robert didn't know this step. Oh, look, I found it. And you know what? We all get smarter from each other. That's why you put things on websites. That's why you keep, you know, informing each other what you tried so the next person can look for another solution. So
it might take a while to do this, but have like what the motions look like for each state, you know, kind of like set up, and it's like blank templates of the motions, how they're supposed to look in each state, and let the people fill those out. I could probably do that with at least two different kinds here.
Well,
Most of the states have that in their law libraries, and anyone can get it, scan it, and post it. But here's the problem, Robert. You can have every step in the world, but if you don't know how to protect your rights that give you the leverage, none of that matters. You're still sucked into their same bad pattern.
And then that's why the cycle continues, is the fact that me and Robert were talking to this woman the other day who was fighting for her son, and she's making the same bad mistakes that we made years ago and people made years ago before us. The other day I watched The Odd Couple from 1967, and the complaints that he had are the same complaints that we have now. The problem is that we just keep making the same bad mistakes and not believing the people who went before us.
And you know what else I see, Tommy, which is really, really sad that parents are having to do? We just see a bunch of parents training on how to be a lawyer. Because all you're doing is learning how to do their paperwork, go through the system, but you know what? You're still going through the system. So you're just learning how to be a lawyer. That's not what we need. We need... Yeah,
And that's what it comes down to, is the fact that this woman just said, well, you know, I'm just going to keep going back to court every time that the mother does something wrong. I'm just going to take notes and keep going back to court. And it's like, well, that's not going to help you. We need to teach people to stop thinking that the courts are going to be your answer. They're not going to fix the problem. That you need to find a way to fix the problem with your spouse, because once you fix that and you start having communication and things start getting better for the children, then you don't need the system.
That's all great when you don't have, you know how many people out there, I mean, it sounds like Robert's maybe dealing with one. What about the narcissist, the psychopath? You cannot reason with them. If they could...
Look, I am the first to tell you that 9 years later, I still can't. But I can also tell you that I seriously believe I have a better chance of overcoming the narcissist, parental alienator that I had children with than I do of going through the system and getting an answer.
But if we don't change the system, these narcissist, psychopathic type behaviors will be able to continue, and alienators will be able to continue to drag us through the system. And
well,
so we've got to slow the system down from being able to do that and teach the people in the system that they are there to protect your rights from attacks from other people.
Well, you know, that's why I think that we need to teach people before they get separated. While they're happily married, they need to go on these Facebook pages and see the crap that we have been through, and say to themselves, wow, if this ever happens to me, I will never, allow this to happen.
So what you're talking about is scared married, you know, like scared straight.
100%.
How do you motivate them? Because Michael Miller, he's the attorney out here in Houston. He's learning every day how to use these methods and the constitutional rights into his practice now. And so we talk to him almost daily, and he's very, very on board with what you're talking about. He totally agrees that people need to learn this from – you know, junior high, high school, in their marriage.
This stops you from having children. Listen to this show, and this will prevent you from having children.
I'm raising my hand.
Unfortunately, it hasn't prevented people because they always have the attitude of it's not going to happen to me. I won't be the one that, you know, has that problem. Or I see a lot of people going, well, I'll be the one to win the kids, so I don't care.
Okay, Rob over here raising his hand. Okay. Here's a question, Sherry, because this is going on right now, and I'm not sure how to deal with it because the courts and the DA and the police are not doing anything about it. So basically, no matter what I do, I get screwed on this. My wife is a wanted criminal in one state, a fugitive, and by being these two things, she's broken local law and federal law. She's lied on the stand, which has been proven. She's lied to the police with false allegations and everything, which has been proven. But no one seems to want to go after her. They're basically rewarding her. Every time she does stuff like this, they reward her again and again and again.
Yeah, no punish you because
How can I fight something like that?
Right, they're punishing you because they're probably looking at you as, oh my gosh, how could you want us to put the mother of your child in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well,
you're the bad guy.
I understand that, but I'm like going, okay, look, she keeps lying to the police. They realize it, but they don't do anything. She lies to the DA, and the DA has lost two major domestic violence cases because of her, and one was against me and one was against another guy, that both of us were acquitted because of her, and yet they keep letting her do this.
Right.
I'm sitting there going, you guys are being embarrassed by this woman, by what she does to you, and you're losing tons and tons of money because of what she's doing.
Right, but go to the core of the problem. How often do you think that the police and other authorities have people complaining about the other spouse after separation when they're in child custody battles? They get this all the time, right? So this is constant for them, and to them it's bickering. To you, you're going, wait, she broke a law. Mm. Hold on, here she broke a law, right? But to them... It's happening so often now that, remember that example I gave you about people saying, well, good, and then they just throw them in jail. After a while, that's not effective anymore.
Well, so with her being a narcissist, trust me, on her, she does everything she possibly can to make herself look good, even though she does everything bad. And it's like if they actually charged her with a crime and put her in jail, I can almost guarantee that she would stop doing what she is doing now.
Yeah, sure.
Just because I know how she is. But they won't do anything about it. I'm sitting there going, you keep rewarding this bad behavior and making it worse. My children are going to start looking at that going, well, Mom can do it. So can I.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really, really bad example. I agree. But the thing that people, I totally agree with you, Robert, it's a totally, that's almost like saying, why have the law in the book? You're not going to enforce the law. Why even have it? Because you, on one hand, you have an expectation that the laws will be followed and that you'll be protected from that kind of behavior, right? You're not
that. They've arrested me and put me in jail because of what she's done, but they won't do the same thing to her.
Wow.
I'm not complaining
because
about fair,
kids,
fair
right?
kind of thing. I'm not going with the fair is fair kind of thing. I'm going, if you're gonna follow this law, then you better follow this law completely. Not just
so you're saying they're enforcing it on you, they're not enforcing it on her. Do you think they would have enforced it on you if you had the kids?
That I'm not sure about. Being a man and just by experience over the last 2 years, I think they might.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would happen. I'm just saying with my experience.
But these are separate issues because this is police enforcement is separate from courts because courts don't have police of their own. So you're talking about two separate issues. When it comes to police enforcement, you have to deal with that a different way.
I think I might have got this. I found a police officer there back in Cheyenne, and I told them, I said, I want you to look into this. And the detective that I was talking to, she's like, wow, she's called into us a lot. I'm like, yeah, and she's going to keep doing it and trying to get me arrested. Can you, is there anything you can do to stop this?
What'd they say?
Well, they're looking into it. This was like about a week ago that I called them and stuff like that. So I figured most police investigations take a little bit longer than a week. So I'm going to let them have a little bit of time.
Do you feel like if those behaviors wouldn't empower her to have control and power and be primary over your children and to benefit, don't you think that maybe some of those behaviors would be pointless even to her if they weren't giving her benefit?
That's what I've always
exactly.
said. Is if you slapped her hands early, the behavior wouldn't have gotten this bad.
But let's say they have problems with slapping their hands. Let's say you had provided them the solution with, hey, look, if you protected Robert's rights, she wouldn't be getting benefit. You wouldn't even have to slap her hand. She just wouldn't have a right to interfere with his rights. She can't get him jailed. She can't take his time with his kids. She can't charge him child support for his time. There's no benefit in it for you.
I did get an answer from a police officer a while back, Sherry, when I tried to do this before, and they're going, actually, it wasn't a police officer. It was one of the safe houses for women, a shelter. Mm-hmm. What they told me, they're going, what they said, I was going, why do you keep letting this person do this? They're going, because you might do something later down the line. So we have to protect her now. I'm like going, I've never been a bad person. That's BS. I'm like, you're going to let her break the law continuously just protect
her. A guy that's never been
in trouble with the police ever, just in case I go psycho and do something. Yes?
Yeah, but Robert, if they continue to let her get away with this bad behavior, you're going to snap, and then they're going to be right.
Yeah. And I talked to a mom this morning who said the same thing, that they kept saying, oh, we're doing this to prevent, you might move away from the children, or move with the children, you might do this. You've got to shut that down. You have to, instead of just saying, oh my gosh, haven't I convinced you, I haven't done anything, that's why I'm saying, you've got to use your rights as leverage and then just say, you know what, you guys, shit or get. You're either going to have to charge me, or you're going to have to give my rights back to me with my kids, or I'm going to take this higher. But you can only do that after you frame it properly in the court. Don't keep screwing around with these cops and everything. Just take it straight through the court system using the rights method and then push it forward. Don't be afraid to challenge that judge respectfully. That's the problem I'm finding. It really is. I mean, if you really look at this, you could have shut this down a long time ago. Sure, maybe you wouldn't have won, but you know what? It wouldn't be going on still.
Now, this is in what you're talking about right now is in your book, correct?
Most of the rights from the cases is in the book, and now we've been refining them on my blog tools, and we have a wiki. It's on Family Rights Wiki. So we're putting all kinds of free steps and information out there for you now, so you can take the rights you read in the book, because you're going to get a lot of information from the book, okay, on your rights. Then you're going to say, all right, I got some ideas of how to apply it, but I'm facing now this specific thing. Like last night I posted confrontation clause. So let's say you say, I'm facing where they want my child to testify in the judge's chambers, but they don't call it testifying. They just want to interview my child. What do I do? Because that's going to interfere with my right to determine what's right for my child. They're letting my child decide. So you learn in the book what your rights are and how your rights protect the child and how that child's rights are held in trust by you. Then you go to the blog and you look for your specific thing you're going through. Okay, and I'm putting them on the wiki too, so they're searchable. You can go in and say, oh, I need to know how to enter evidence. Oh, I need to know how to stop them from using my child's testimony against me. So yes, you're going to get your rights from the book, and then you're going to learn more on how to use them from the website and the blog and the wiki.
Okay. Now, where exactly can we get your information?
You go to www.fixfamilycourts, with an S, .com, and click on blog, and you're going to see the mostly all I've been posting since January 1 is daily tools, daily tools. And then if you want to go to the wiki, you're going to type in wiki.fixfamilycourts.com, and that's going to give you even more expanded information because we write on pages all kinds of stuff there. You've got lobbying tools. You've got child support tools, alimony, all kinds of legislative stuff. We're starting to post bill example language for bills with the legislators, videos of people that are testifying in front of legislative committees. So anything we get our hands on, we're starting to post up there, things we're researching. That's wiki.fixfamilycourts with an S, .com.
Now, are you still doing the webinars?
I do. I haven't done any yet this month because when I committed myself to making a daily tool every day, it's pretty much consumed my day. So I am going to start up webinars again next month. I just had to kind of get adjusted to having to write daily because our writing isn't just, hey, I'm just going to say hi to you guys today. We actually researched some of this, so it takes a little time.
And how do we get the book?
You get the book, same place. Go to the website, fixfamilycourts.com. Click on, let me see here. I think you just click on the top. I'm going to double check it here. I switched a couple things around when I put the blog up there. Yeah, click on store. And you'll see books, training, and free downloads.
And you also have the Facebook page.
Yeah. And that, when you click on the blog, the Facebook link is listed on the end of every blog.
Fantastic.
So you'll be able to get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, Robert, what we're saying is we're going to be presenting information so that people will be aware of what's going on, what's happening with you and others, and then they'll be able to go places and find these tools that you weren't able to find when you needed them for your appeal. I think we've listed all the different states, and we're going to start populating these pages so that everybody has these tools and they're transparent. Nobody should lose their right, like you said, just because they didn't know what to do and couldn't find a lawyer that would actually admit that they had rights and do it for them.
You guys are helping more than you could imagine. You might just think that you're just sitting back and filling your own time, but you're actually changing people's lives, and I appreciate that. That's why I always want you guys to come on, and I'll promote whatever you guys are promoting because you're much smarter than I am. So...
You should be careful of that. You never know what, you know, we just got back on our motorcycles, so, you know, we may want to be, you know, talking about motorcycles. You know, and that's the other thing we wanted to say here is that when parents are so consumed, and, you know, they get blamed for this, but it's not totally their fault. The system has made them fear that they're going to lose their kids, and they do, and then they lose control over their pocketbook. And they don't have any more funds. And remember how you were talking about, Tommy, they snap? They snap because, one, the most important thing to them is threatened. And then, two, now they have no money to do anything enjoyable in their life with their children because they've had to spend all of their money on this fight. So there's nothing normal or relaxing in their life anymore. And if we can just bring that back for them, you know, even if everyone doesn't win, but they're able to end the conflict faster so that it doesn't break them and make them bankrupt. I think even that's going to make a difference.
You forgot,
you know,
that you're made to feel guilty for having fun.
Well, yeah, well, guilty or it gets used against them. Like today we went riding Ron's daughter, right? Well, what happens if the other parent says, oh, my God, that's a danger, takes you into court for having fun with your child.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you've got all these expenses, and guess what? You have to sell your motorcycle to pay your lawyer.
You can never do anything with them again because, you know, God forbid they get hurt while they're with you. But
well, that's what we're stopping. If we can end that cycle where parents get involved with attorneys that aren't admitting they have rights and are not willing to protect their rights, if we can get the word out there, run as fast as you can away from that lawyer. You know, I know a lot of people think, well, my gosh, that's all I've got, and they believe me, and they're going to prove the other parent is bad. Run. Run away from your desire to prove that other parent is bad, too, because I've seen too many people lose everything. And that goes to your idea of don't think the courts are going to save you. They are not going to save you. Just force them to do their job, which is to protect you from attacks on your rights.
And that's what it comes down to is protect your children's rights to have both parents. Don't go in and attack the other parent. Don't go in, you know, thinking that the other person is unsafe. Just go in and make sure that your children have rights. And know them having rights, they have rights to both parents. But
and you know what? Those parents do not have to be perfect parents. And they don't have, you know, they're going to have flaws. But let's add one more thing to that, Tommy, because there are some parents that are a danger to children. There are some parents that, you know, are going to put the children at so much risk of damage that child's not going to grow up to be a productive citizen. Well, then the parent really should be preparing for a child abuse battle or an unfitness hearing.
And
don't leave it in the
If the other person is committing a crime, or you know, then that's a totally different show. But this
and if
is
our
about
criminal justice, if our criminal justice system is refusing to prosecute them, like what Robert's talking about, they're the ones we need to be putting pressure on and dealing with. They're the ones we need to be fixing. Then we need to get the family courts out of the business of depriving us of our rights and get them to protect them. We need to get the criminal justice system to start taking this stuff seriously.
And that's what I want people to completely understand is that I don't fight for parents or people who commit crimes. I'm fighting for two fit, caring, loving parents who can't live with each other anymore. One of them is going to get screwed and financially and emotionally destroyed because of the system that we have in place right now. In the end, that comes down to destroying the children, making them feel unwanted, unloved, like nothing is good for them. You have high school dropouts, you have kids who do drugs, you have kids who commit crime, all because of a system that is not working. If you have two loving, caring, fit parents who just can't get along with each other, I think that the system is completely wrong and broken.
But how many people look at this, Tommy, as if the parents can't get along with each other, then it's bad to have the child exposed to both parents all the time? So they limit one of the parents because the two parents aren't getting along. They see that as conflict. They see conflict as bad for a child.
But the child should still have access to both parents.
You know what they say, like, okay, but does that cause an instability? We say no, it doesn't, but there are people that believe it does.
Yes, when I first got my divorce, I was told a million times that I was being selfish for making my children want to come to my one-bedroom apartment in a bad neighborhood.
That's disgusting how they made you feel guilty about wanting your own children and then using your financial ability against you for wanting to be with them.
And you're like, I love my kids. I want them to have their own room because they told me how important it was for them to feel like they have their own.
Well, great. Well, I want to have as much money as Bill Gates. Great. That's a straw man argument. That's an argument that parents, once they recognize them, they won't get tricked and sucked in. That's just dragging people down a rabbit hole. What's happening, what you're doing, Tommy, is this radio show is you're bringing awareness. And you know this over the years, because I think a lot of parents that have come to us are like, oh, my God, if I had just looked at it that way from the beginning, I wouldn't have been scared. And that's the biggest thing I hear parents say to us is thank you so much, Ron and Sherry, because I went in there confident. I wasn't scared. And I felt like I had a leg to stand on. And that was the difference. Is when they're hammering them, they don't know what to say. You know, when they say, I'm a good guy, I'm a good guy. And they're like, yeah. But and it does nothing. But when you hit them back with something formidable, but like, you know what? Troxel says, I don't have, you know, you can't hold poverty. Troxel doesn't say that. Which one says that? Is it Casey? But one of the cases says, Ron's ignoring me over here because I'm doing all the talking. But one of the cases that we have says that you cannot use poverty against the parent to take their children. They're doing it every day in family
court.
Well,
exactly. And that's what they did, is the fact that they destroyed me financially, and then I felt like I couldn't be a good parent. And then they used that against me, and then you start feeling depressed, and then you can't tell anybody you're depressed because then they'll use that against you. So the system is set up to make you fail. And, you know, it is our job to point people in the direction of you guys. So you can make sense of it.
Yeah, because we'll help them turn that around so that the system no longer gets empowered by setting them up. That's the biggest thing, is changing how you address things, knowing what you're going to face. I can tell you when I went through it, the biggest relief I had, even when it was bad news, was when an attorney could tell me what to expect, what I was going to face in the next hearing.
Because then you knew that he was going to get paid another $4,000.
No, I did it myself, but I went and paid attorneys on the side to say, here's the scenario, here's the hearing I'm facing, what's going to happen? And they're like, they're going to charge you child support. Okay, what do I do? Well, they say that it's like a train that's going to wreck. You got to wait for it to wreck and turn it around. Okay, that's great, but how do I turn it around? And that's where their help stopped. They're like, I don't know. And so that's where Ron and I started researching, because we're like, this is bull crap. We can't sit here and just say, I'm going to sit here and wait for the train to wreck, and then he goes, you just have to pick up the pieces. So, no, we were like, no, that doesn't fly with us. So what we did is we got in there and said, what can help us turn it around? The only thing we found was to figure out what would empower us, what gave us power, because at that point we had no power. We stood in front of this judge just to get smacked around. That's all it is, just smacked us.
Because the thing that made sense for me was one time I was flying out to see my children. And you know when you get on the plane and they say to you, when the air mass falls from the ceiling, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of your children.
Yeah, but they take away your ability to take care of yourself. I just heard recently that a parent out here lost their license to the business that made the money to help them pay child support. Their license was taken away. Okay,
exactly.
This is happening all over the states. They can't take care of themselves. When a state steps in, they start depriving you of your ability to take care of yourself. Do you know that state now owes a duty to you? I found a case. It's on our blog. Okay? They owe a duty to you if they imprison you, don't they? They have to feed you. They have to provide you with the basic necessities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Well, if they are depriving you and taking away your ability to survive, do they not then still owe you a duty now? So I'm going to say parents need to start filing for the state, suing the state because they deprived them and they owe them a duty for their basic necessities.
And that's what I found, is the fact that if you are a father, it is impossible for you to get assistance because
not
you're
that,
making
I'm not
a
talking
good
about
income.
Assistance.
No,
yeah,
you know, I'm
talking.
Just saying that, you know, just another topic.
Well, yeah,
I guess
we kind of would be talking about assistance because we're kind of saying, you know, hey, you got to give me the basic necessities. But I think it would have to come in the form of a lawsuit to say, you deprived me. I did not discharge my duty to care for my child. You took it, and then you further took away my ability to support the child and myself.
So I think there's something there. Mm-hmm. 100%. But that's what it comes down to, is the fact that you have to start Because when people first get separated, their first thought is, no matter what, I'm going to do what's right for my children. I'm going to take care of them. You could, you know, have the house. You can have the everything. I just want to see my kids. And then they go to court and they get screwed and they don't have anything to sell to support themselves. So you have to say to yourself, put yourself first, and then you can take care of your kids. So defend yourself, your need to make money. If they take your driver's license, if they put you in jail, the punishment only makes the action twice as bad. If you're not paying child support and you lose your driver's license and lose your job and go to jail, you're never going to be able to pay child support.
Here's the case. Here's the case that talks about the state owing a duty for basic necessities. It's Wetmore versus Marco. It says the law interferes when the husband neglects or refuses to discharge this duty and enforces it against him by means of legal proceedings. That's super important for parents to know this when they're fighting child support. And that is in my blog under, I'll tell you the title of it, Child Support, How to End Cash for Kids. And
super.
So that's what they need to start arguing is, look, you're going to discharge that duty for me when I did not. If you're going to take time from me with my kids that I did not give up, I am here to try to get protection to have that time with my children. If you're going to discharge that duty against my will and you're going to use legal proceedings to do it, then you're going to owe me. They're going to say you're nuts. They're going to say you're nuts. But you know what? They said blacks were nuts when they wanted freedom. They said they were nuts when they wanted to vote. They said women were nuts.
And that's what you've said from the beginning. Is the fact that you have,
so I'm just saying shut up to Ron now before he comes back and laughs. No.
if you have case studies to go by, it's better than just standing there and saying, but she's mean to me.
Now you're getting it. I've got so many parents when they call, I've got to shut that down at first. You let them vent. And yes, I understand you're hurt, you're angry, okay, but now let's do this in a way where you're empowered. Stop empowering them.
Exactly,
okay?
And that's what I say all the time, is the fact that you're giving the ex too much power. Stop talking about them. This has nothing to do with them. Change the system. Get the courts to see your constitutional rights as a parent, and then it makes all sense. But as long as you're fighting that spouse, you're never going to win, and your children are never going to win.
Nope. And don't let them make it about a fight between you and your spouse. I know there's lots of criminal spouses out there, but you know what? Your priority is being able to be with your children, have the equal access and the ability to continue to develop and use your funds on them, not on the ex-spouse. So don't let them make this fight about your ex-spouse. This is a fight between you and the state, regardless of whether they say, no, you guys brought it in here. You're inviting me into your family business. Okay, I've got another on here that says that the court looked at that as, actually it's Texas, or the attorney general says, here's what we think. You invited us into your private family business. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you? Were one of you dragged into it? So, no, don't let them make it about that. You control the argument in the court. Every time they try to make it something else, Your Honor, we're just here because you need to decide best interest because the parents can't agree. You say, no, we're not here for that.
Hmm.
We're always going to disagree. We are here so that you can protect both our rights. I know, I can't stand that other person, but I do want you to protect their rights because I want you to protect mine and my children. And they'll go, what? And that's when you start to lay it out. Don't rush back into an argument between you and the other spouse.
That's what it's got to be. But we want to thank Ron for coming on the show today.
Yeah, really. He disappeared out of the room, so I think he figured he wasn't needed anymore. But, you know, I can tell you that most of the brilliance that comes out of this, I take stuff that he finds. We do both do research, But sometimes, you know, his brain works completely different, and he is the one that figured out that parents and children were being treated as second-class citizens, and he found the insurance cases on that. And, you know, so he's tied a lot of things together that, you know, I missed too. And I think that's why it's important that a lot of people interact as well, because you're going to fill in gaps that maybe someone else couldn't see. And that's why the wiki that we do is so important, because people can actually interact with us on there. You know, they can post some of their videos, some of their information, and then we go in and we actually start putting tools under it. So if they, like Robert, if you went on there and said, here's my issue, police are not enforcing, and you put that stuff up there on the Family Rights Wiki, we'll go on there eventually, and we'll start putting some of the stuff that might give you some leverage and empowerment if we find it.
That's I would have to post about a book or two worth on there.
Then you, that's okay. Tell us we run out of internet space.
I've been told by me and Tommy's mutual buddy, Carrie, that the minimum right now that I would be getting lucky for a lawyer to take on my case, he's going, you'd be lucky if they'd take a retainer of
$10,000. Yeah.
That's how complicated mine is.
It does. It costs a lot, Robert. And if you have to use an attorney to help you on some of the procedural stuff, you've got to get one to agree to integrate some of this stuff in there, or you're just paying them to piss your money away.
Oh, don't worry. I don't have any money to get a lawyer, so that's probably not going to ever happen anyway. So.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part, too. You guys should not be, no parent should be losing their child because they don't have the money. That's probably the saddest thing about all of this. Yeah. That's a very, very bad message to send to our children, that they can go beat somebody up in court and steal a child from another parent.
But
it's just a horrible. I don't think that's who we are as Americans. I think we deserve better. I think our children deserve better.
That's why we do this.
And as our president would say, going in there and respecting each individual's rights is the right thing to do for Americans. That is the right thing to do. That's what we stand for. That's what our military fights for. And that is the right thing to do. And if you want to make a judge feel about as big as a pea, you go in there and you have that kind of framing for your case, that this is the right thing to do. This is American to protect our rights. It's un-American to abuse each other. Right? We don't want to.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So,
but,
anyways, I appreciate you guys having us on.
Absolutely.
Thank
we appreciate you,
you
guys.
Me a lot of...
That you guys have made us smarter in return. So I appreciate that. Ron's always invited on the show.
Just on today.
You have to invite us one at a time, because he was over there playing on Facebook. I was waiting for him to jump in and correct me and tell me what case I needed, and he's just like, I'll just let you struggle over there.
So, well, there you go. Brilliant.
Hello?
You didn't make me smarter right now, Sherry, but when I download the book, I am definitely going to be a lot smarter very soon.
Okay, great. Yeah, let me know when you get that book. It's one thing we tell people, don't look at that book as, oh, my God, I'm left out in the cold now. Interact with us. Let us know what thoughts you're having when you're going through your rights and how you envision using it, so we can kind of dialogue with you and help you understand how they work. Okay?
Will do.
Absolutely. Well, the Palmers, we thank you for coming on the show today, and your insight is always welcomed. If there's anything that we can do in return, please let us know.
Just keep fighting for those rights.
We will. We'll never stop.
And keep putting some humor in the show. I like that.
You got it. We will.
We need
talk
that.
To you guys. It's the
you
only
too.
Thing that's gotten me this far. But we will talk to you guys next time. But that's pretty much the show
for this evening. Robert, I always like your input.
Thank you very
Robert,
much, Tommy. Thank you very much, Tommy. I always enjoy being on the show. You know that.
Absolutely. She is the only person who can make me sit back and be quiet.
Yeah, I was noticing that.
It is.
You have to shut up so you can listen to her, because she knows what she's talking about.
Absolutely, and I don't mean that in any bad way whatsoever. I enjoy listening to what she has to say, but she can out-talk me. This is probably the longest that I've gone on a show without talking.
Yeah, I'm kind of impressed by that.
Absolutely. Let me just jump in right real quick, and let me bring on the heartbeat of the entire network, one of the greatest people in the entire world. But we are on the Chaos Network, and I'm going to bring on the Chaos himself. Chris, are you there?
I can't even. I don't even know what to say after that. I feel like I should say nothing. That's the best introduction I think I've ever had in my life.
Yay,
you, but if it wasn't for you, we would not be here. So I'm thankful for that, and I know that you must be amazed at how quiet I was during the entire show.
Yeah, I mean, I know I sent it to you in text. There is, like, sometimes we'll like to call the virtual green room, that I think I sat here and was listening for a good, I don't know, 15 minutes, and you hadn't said a word yet. I didn't know if you passed out. I didn't know what happened. I was kind of worried about you.
But I wanted to bring on Chris because he is the brain of the Chaos Network, and he allows us to bring this issue to the table, and a huge supporter. He has never been through the system, but because of what we have done, feels that the system, you know, the show should be here to get people the knowledge that they need, and has pushed me to come back and do the show again. So
thank Josh for that. There's no doubt. So, like, I guess I'll just say it from my perspective. Like, you're right. I'm not fighting the good fight that you guys are. And before you guys started this with Leaving Footprints and Deadbeat Dads and every avenue you guys have gone down, I didn't know a lot of this stuff existed. And so I like, the more I hear about it, it's all new to me. And you guys are talking about, it almost sounds like the paper trail that you go through in the court system. And you know what, it seems like no matter what court case you're going through, whether you're fighting for your child or just fighting for a right in general, any right in general, the paper trail is ridiculous. But, you know, in this avenue, you guys have so many more battles than anybody knows what's going on. So the story just has to get out there, and you guys are awesome at it. You have the you know, phenomenal guests, and you guys are great at getting the word out there. So, no, it helps way too many people for this show not to be on the air.
That Chris is such a supporter of this program that he said, if you're not going to do it, I will, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's how I live my life.
The show will be on with or without you. So,
give Chris my number so he can actually call me and get me on the show once in a while too, just in case you're not there.
Oh, who's gonna let you talk on a show?
Well, it's obviously not you.
Or Sherry.
Yeah, we have one thing in common, Tommy. We'll talk about you, that's for sure. Now, look, you have a lot of things you're doing if something happens, you know, and you can't make it. This needs to be on at least once a month. One way or another, if I have to sub in every now and then, I'm happy to do it. But either way, you guys got to help keep you guys getting the word out.
Well, Chris, I'm available pretty much all the time. So, you know, if Tommy can't do it, you know, call me up. I can sit there and BS just as good as he can. He just doesn't let me say anything.
Well, that's because
I know
you didn't
that
go to
feeling.
Broadcasting school.
Even if you went to broadcasting school, you wouldn't be able to get a word in. Let me tell you that right now.
Chris had to buy the network so I would let him talk.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Now, great show. I was listening to pretty much the whole thing. It was awesome, as always, just insightful. This is something that just cannot go unsaid.
Well, I appreciate you for making me get off the couch, even though technically I am still on the couch, and bringing the show back.
I'm sitting in a rest area in Oregon.
No, it's awesome. I mean, really, keep it up. But thanks for bringing me in, too, Tommy.
Absolutely. Anytime, my friend. But I'm going to end the show now because I got to go take a nap.
Back to the couch.
Talk to you later.
Well, thank you for listening to another Leaving Footprints. It is a worthy cause. Do whatever you can to tell your friends to listen. Download it as much as you possibly can. Get other people involved. Let's get the numbers of this show growing. So, you know, check out Fix the Family Courts. Get as much information as you possibly can. Get out there. Be involved in this. Help us get the word out. Help educate people. Because I know that when you first got into this, you were confused. It didn't make any sense to you. You wish there were answers. We're here to try to get answers. So help us out. Get the numbers going. We will talk to you in the future.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears the hole